From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
The latest political controversy related to the gay rights movement concerns the group commonly referred to as transgender, and the right of this transgender group to use the bathroom and showering facilities of their choice. Transgender, of course, is a broad term covering those dressing and living according to their chosen sex rather than their assigned one, along with those who live outside normally prescribed gender roles. A number of states already have adopted laws guaranteeing the right to use the bathroom of your choice, men's or women's room, according to the sex with which you identify. I want to talk about that in just a moment with Joe Dallas. Joe Dallas is Program Director of Genesis Counseling, Tustin, California. This is a Christian counseling service to men dealing with sexual addiction, with homosexuality, and with other sexual and relational problems. Joe has written many different books. You can find them on the web at equip.org. I've endorsed a number of them and certainly endorse all of them. I just mean I've provided written endorsements for some of them, but I endorse all of them. You can find them on the web at equip.org. As always, we're grateful to have Joe on the broadcast. Joe, thank you.
Oh, always a pleasure. Thanks for having me, Hank.
Let's go back to this issue that I raised at the top of the show. When I talk about the sex with which you identify, the basic question being, is homosexuality an identity? Is it a behavior? Same thing with transgenderism. Is it an identity or is it a behavior?
Well, it's both, in my opinion. I think that it can be a behavior when people act on those impulses, whether they are homosexual or whether they are desires to live as if you were a member of the opposite sex. They can also become an identity when a person sees them as a form of primary identification. In other words, there are people who have homosexual desires who may not openly identify themselves by those desires. They may even see them as unwanted desires, which they resist. But there are many other people who openly declare themselves gay or lesbian, and that means that they have adopted homosexuality not just as a behavior, but as a form of self-identification. And so I think they can be both behavior and identification.
In an article in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal, available for those who support the ministry all this month, it's titled, Is Gay Christian an Acceptable Identity? That's the title of the article. You point out that homosexual is a word best used as an adjective, such as saying, I experience homosexual temptations, rather than a noun in which you would be saying, I am a homosexual.
Well, I think that's especially true for the Christian, Hank. I really think it's true for anybody. I have never felt that homosexual is properly used as a noun, as in saying you are a homosexual. I think that it describes sexual feelings or sexual behaviors. But for the Christian in particular, even though I would argue even for the non-Christian, I don't think it's a good form of self-identification, I certainly don't think any believer should adopt as a form of primary identification any sinful tendency, whether it is a sexual tendency or an emotional tendency. I think that it is good to be honest about your feelings. So, for example, a Christian who experiences homosexual attractions should discreetly, I believe, be talking with a pastor or a trusted friend and admitting those attractions and dealing with them the way we deal with all of our temptations. But we don't identify ourselves primarily by those temptations, and we certainly don't put positive words on them like gay. And for that reason, I argue against adopting the term gay Christian, because first, I think it's an over-identification with a sinful tendency, and that's not a biblical way of identifying ourselves. Secondly, I think it puts a positive spin on feelings or behaviors that are not positive. They're, in fact, biblically always referred to in the negative.
A lot of people want to talk to you. We'll go to our callers in just a moment, but I do want you to comment on something you wrote about in the cover story of the Christian Research Journal, or at least in the special edition of the Christian Research Journal, where you point out that this debate is hardly academic for you. You repented of homosexual behavior in January of 1984. And the homosexual orientation and internal sexual attraction towards men was something you couldn't have repented of because as an involuntary condition, it didn't have an off switch. Those attractions would continue to arise, and when they did, you needed to resist them. And you point out that you did that in a very specific way. You made a clean break with your identity as a gay man. You moved to another country. You found a church. You hired a professional counselor. You began investing in prayer, Bible study, regular worship with other believers, and deep friendships. And all of that is prologue to asking a question, which is, how do you intentionally recognize the problem and then make a break with the problem? Obviously, you've described what you've done, but talk to others about this as well.
Yeah, Hank, this isn't rocket science. This is pretty basic discipleship. When you realize you have a sinful tendency and you've been giving into that sinful tendency, it all starts with repentance. You have to do what Jesus said. Okay, I recognize my right hand is offending me. I need to cut it off. That is to say, you need to distance yourself from whatever would draw you back into the sinful behavior you have repented of. Now, I don't think every Christian who gets involved in homosexuality and realizes it's a sin, or every homosexual who comes to Christ and realizes it's a sin, either way, I don't think every one of them needs to move out of the county like I did. But in my case, I was so involved with the local gay community, I knew that if I did not distance myself from it, I would probably compromise in one way or another. So I had to follow what Christ, I think, was pretty clear about when he said, hey, don't kid yourself. Remove yourself from whatever would draw you back to the thing that you are renouncing. So you repent of the behavior, and you admit, you recognize that temptations will probably come. Hank, when we repent of a sin, we will probably continue to have in our memory banks the recollection of that sin, and to an extent the pleasure it gave, we can be re-tempted towards it. So we have to make provision for that. We need to be spiritually fortified, built up in the Word and in prayer. We may need mentoring from a wiser Christian, as I sought out when I got a good Christian counselor. We certainly need to be confessing to other believers who can hold us accountable and be there with us and encourage us and exhort us. And those are very basic ways of dealing with any significant sinful tendency in your life. It certainly is a very basic and a well-proven strategy.
Talking to Joe Dallas, Program Director of Genesis Counseling, Tustin, California. Let's go to the phone callers. A lot of people hanging on. Susan, she's listening in Dallas, Texas, Sirius XM 131. You're on with Joe.
Yes, hi. Thank you. I would like to know how to respond, and this is to family and friends who bring this up, but how would you respond when they say homosexuals are that way because God made them that way, so therefore God approves of them, and anything that you would say against that, you're just a hater.
Yeah, Susan, that argument is based on two presumptions. The first presumption being that it has been proven that homosexuality is inborn, which is not true. A number of studies have suggested that it could be inborn, or that there could at least be genetic or biological influences which make people more susceptible to it. But as we speak on this day in 2016, there is no concrete evidence that homosexuality is an inborn condition. I mentioned a couple of days ago to Hank that when people repeat something often enough, the general public presumes it must be true just because everybody's saying it. But the fact that everybody is saying people are born gay or born lesbian really does not prove that they are. The second presumption of the argument is that if something really is inborn, God must have intended it. And that also is not true. One of the first things we learn about the human experience is a tragic aspect of that experience. When Adam and Eve sinned, God pronounced what's often called the curse. I believe it was largely an explanation of what life would now be like as a result of sin and its impact on the human experience. And in essence, he said, you will experience things now that I never intended you to experience. So there are, of course, in the extreme sense, there are birth defects, which is not something I believe God ever intended humans to have. There may well be genetic predispositions to conditions like alcoholism, violence, or depression. But no one would argue that because those may be inborn tendencies or proclivities, that God therefore intended them. So I think the argument presumes that people are born gay, which has not been proven, and it presumes that whatever we were born with must be what God intended. What God has specifically prohibited, he did not create. So no matter how deeply I may feel something or how natural it may feel to me, that alone cannot legitimize it, even if it's inborn.
Thanks for your call, Susan. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Lee, St. Louis, Missouri, listening on Bot Radio. You're on with Joe Dallas. Hi, Lee.
Hi. I have a question, I guess, because my little brother is gay and is thinking, he hasn't said that he's thinking about being transgender, but he is posting all kinds of pictures on Facebook of him dressed up as a woman. And I have, like, chosen to not look at his Facebook anymore, and that has created a bunch of friction between the two of us, and he's saying, you know, that I don't love him because I don't like these things and because I don't, like, approve and support him. And so I guess my question is, how can I prove, or, like, why, I don't know, how can I explain it to him that I don't need to prove my love that way and still truly love him?
Oh, Lee, that's rough. I'm sorry to hear you're going through this. I think there's a place for reasoning with people, just like Paul reasoned with people in the synagogue. It's not just preaching to them, it's trying to reason with them. And one way I find helpful to reason with people is to ask them, do you believe that anything is wrong? Do you believe that anything is wrong? Well, invariably they'll say, well, of course I do. I think some things are wrong. Ah, do you hate people because you think they do something wrong? Oh, well, no, it doesn't mean I hate them. Well, that's the point exactly. You don't have to approve of someone's behavior in one area in order to love them. Therefore, just as you reserve the right, my brother, to believe that some things are right and some things are wrong without being accused of hating someone because you disagree with them, can't I be extended that same courtesy as someone who has a moral perspective or a worldview, which you may not share, but you at least share with me the reality that you think some things are right and wrong, I think some things are right and wrong, and it doesn't mean we hate those we disagree with. So why impose the definition of hatred on me just for holding a belief that some things are right and some things are wrong? That isn't fair.
Wisdom from Joe Dallas. Again, Joe is the program director of Genesis Counseling, Tustin, California, and he's written many, many books on human sexuality. You can find them on the web at equip.org. We highly recommend his work, and we're deeply appreciative of his contribution to the work of the Christian Research Institute. In particular, I'm thinking about the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. It is a special edition. It deals with this aspect of human sexuality called transgenderism and much, much more. How are we to think about these things, particularly in light of events like the Orlando massacre? This journal is worth its weight in gold. It will equip you to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect. Again, available for those who support the ministry all this month. Check it out on the web at equip.org, and we'll be back with more answers from Joe Dallas right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast in just a few moments.
Make a difference for truth by supporting CRI's round-the-clock defense of truth. As thanks for your gift today in support of the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, receive the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal featuring two leading-edge articles by Joe Dallas of Bathroom Bills and Basic Beliefs and Is Gay Christian an Acceptable Identity? Call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back after this. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Should people who feel they belong to a particular gender be allowed to use public bathrooms restricted to that gender, even if their birth certificate states they belong to the opposite gender? Through recent legislation, some states are answering yes, while others are answering no. Christians must determine how they should respond to this controversy. Other topics include, is gay Christian an acceptable identity? Why biologists tend to make bad ethicists, and much more. Stand with the Christian Research Institute. And as our thanks for your gift, receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. Call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI.
Make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.
As the erosion of truth and hostility against Christians continues to gain momentum, Christians must stand together for life and truth, no matter the cost. Stand together with the Christian Research Institute during the key month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. To make a special gift to CRI, simply call 888-7000-CRI and support CRI's life-changing outreaches or visit equip.org. Let's return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy, and a special reminder that we have a special edition of the Christian Research Journal available for those who support the ministry. It deals with transgenderism, homosexuality, much, much more. Again, a special edition of the Christian Research Journal available for those who support the ministry all this month. Check it out on the web, equip.org, or simply write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Resource Consultants is always standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Your calls for Joe Dallas. Next up, John, listening in Temple, Texas, Sirius XM 131. Hi, John, you're on with Joe.
How you doing, sir? My question is, after the Orlando terrorist attack, there was a lot of people saying that Christians condone the murder because of the book of Leviticus. Is that true?
No, that is not true. There have been and always will be some isolated Christians, John, who believe that homosexuals deserve to die for their sexual sin. But the vast majority of Christians are weeping over what happened in Orlando. We do believe that homosexuality is one of many sexual sins, and we believe it is not God's will. But we take the approach that Jesus both taught and modeled when he dealt with an adulterous woman, and recognized that, yes, she had committed a sin, and no, he did not want to condemn her, and therefore he gave her both grace and a command. I do not condemn you. Go and sin no more. And that is the message that I think if we were given the opportunity, all of us would say to homosexual people who would hear it. But the long and short of it is, of course not. We do not believe they deserved it. It is a horrible, horrendous tragedy that happened, and we would not want to see it happen to anyone of any type.
I think this question by John is very relevant, Joe. There's an article in the paper today titled "Love at First Sight for a Daughter Turned Son." When you read through the article, the essence is that to not accept the transsexual transformation is tantamount to bullying or ignorance or hate. And as you read the article, you get the distinct sense that the Christian worldview is the main culprit.
You would think so, Hank. In fact, the scapegoating has already begun. Salon Magazine a couple of days ago openly said in an editorial on the Orlando shooting, and I quote, "We want to see an end to all religions calling homosexuality a sin." And the Huffington Post a couple of days ago also said very plainly, tolerance is not enough. If you are repulsed by gay sex, or if you have the wrong position on transgenders using the restroom, you are a part of the problem which led to the murder of the victims in Orlando. And I think that if you look at it with logic, you wonder how the heck you make the leap from I disagree with you or I disapprove of what you're doing to I hate you. I mean, Hank, I've been hated and I've been disapproved of, and I know the difference. There are a lot of things I hear about from my wife that she disapproves of about me, from the way I leave my socks to, you know, the way I did the yard. I've never thought she hated me. because she disapproved of something or disagreed with me. So I think that it's a leap in logic, and I think it's a very heavy-handed way of forcing people into a counterintuitive position. I am of a belief, Hank, that God has placed on our consciences, within our consciences, a sense of what is right versus wrong. Even in unredeemed people, I think there is something there which testifies to what God intended. And when people go against that, it's counterintuitive to them. I think we are forcing a counterintuitive experience on people by hammering it into them from early in life. Gay is normal. Your sexual identity is fluid. If you disagree, you're a hater. And I think we are subduing people and subduing even their willingness to speak out on these issues by saying to them, any disagreement with the current orthodoxy is a statement of hate. That's intimidating stuff.
And you can look at this another way as well. God is not a cosmic killjoy. He puts parameters around our lives so that our joy might be complete. If we took this argument to its logical extension, that God really is a cosmic killjoy, that he really is a hater, because he has put these parameters around our lives, we end up in a conundrum. On the other hand, if we realize that what God has done helps, in other words, the real hate comes from those who are homophobic in the sense that they're telling people that their behavior is perfectly fine, it won't hurt them at all. That's really where the hate is.
Well, what could be more homophobic, more bigoted, more hateful than to keep telling someone that they are right when they are wrong, knowing the ultimate outcome? How can that be an act of love? I do understand that we must respect the free will of other people. And as Paul said, as much as lieth within us, we want to live peaceably with all people. I don't want to crudely impose myself on other people. I have no interest in going and interrupting a homosexual before he goes into a gay bar and preaching at him. But in my interactions with people, in all of our interactions with people, if we are stewards of truth, which Hank, we are, you're a professional apologist, but we are all called to apologetics. We're all stewards of truth. And as such, we have a commission to be in the most respectful and loving and clear way, expressing and communicating and, of course, living out the truth that God has commissioned us with. That's love.
Dr. Joe Dallas, again, Program Director of Genesis Counseling, Tustin, California, author of many books that you can find right here on the web at equip.org. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Bob next, Atlanta, Georgia, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Bob. You're on with Joe.
Hello, Joe and Hank. Thank you so much. You two have so beautifully stated the case. And my question is, should we as Christians be hearing what you fellows say? Should we be hearing that in our churches? Because I've got to tell you, we don't. They just seem to see both sides of the coin. I'll give you a perfect example. This came up in Bible study at my church, and the pastor used the verse, I don't know where Paul says, we see heaven through the glass dimly now. Almost like, well, we really, these are controversial issues, and we don't know. And I don't know if it's because they were worried about losing members, but we don't hear it in pulpit, and you guys have defined this as a primary issue. Should we consider leaving the church if we don't hear this in the pulpit?
Gosh, Bob, I'm in no position to tell you whether to stay or leave. If I felt your church was preaching blatant error, I would say, yeah, get out of there. I would disagree with the way, with all due respect to your pastor, I would disagree with the way he utilized that verse from 1 Corinthians 13, When Paul said we see through a glass darkly, he was indeed saying our knowledge in this life is not complete. But that doesn't mean we don't have any knowledge. What God has already plainly said, we do not see through a glass darkly. We see it very plainly. Now, there is much that we still don't know in addition to what God has already told us, but what he has told us, he has told us plainly, and we need to hold to it. I think along the line of what you were saying, one of my greatest disappointments today is in the general timidity within the church of so many people, leaders especially, to speak plainly on this topic. We don't need to thunder. We don't need to harangue. But this is a relevant issue. Good grief, the whole world is talking about gender identity, transgenders, homosexuality, lesbianism, and so forth. Why on earth should we not be teaching our people what God has said about what the rest of the world is talking about, how to both understand his ways and how to reason with people and discuss his ways with them. So I am hoping that we will see more of an awakening within the church to the need to revisit, and I mean starting with a good breakdown of Genesis, what God intended for the family, what sexuality is about, why prohibitions are in place, and how we should respond lovingly and clearly to the issues of our times. I think that's a mandate.
I think, Joe, as well, it is so critical for Christians to learn to read the Bible in the sense in which it is intended. There are civil and ceremonial laws that are abrogated, but there are universal principles that apply in every generation.
And you know, Hank, they are easily found. I think you're really hitting on the crux of the issue. We have become, I believe, largely a biblically ignorant modern church. I don't believe we would be susceptible to the many, many doctrinal errors today we are susceptible to if we had a working knowledge of the Bible. And I got to say, I remember a time, Hank, when if you were a Christian, it was assumed that on a daily basis you read your Bible. It wasn't assumed that you were a theologian, but it was assumed that you knew that you needed to be in the Word daily, built up by the reading of the Word, and well-equipped, properly furnished as a woman of God or a man of God, to live a fruitful life by on a daily basis taking in what God has said. And I think we need a wholesale return to that type of thinking.
Joe Dallas again. He is the program director of Genesis Counseling Tustin, California, a best-selling author. He's written some fantastic books. Check them out on the web at equip.org. And Joe, you have a forthcoming book, Speaking of Homosexuality. Maybe we can talk about that when we come back from the break. Take more of your calls and again, invite you to stand with this ministry, shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. I cannot do what I do without you. Paul, in Romans chapter 12, makes plain that we have different gifts according to the grace given us. We're one body with many members, and every member contributes in some way. Again, you may contribute by praying for us. Others may have some of the Lord's resources that they can invest in this ministry. We're in the month of the fiscal ending of our year, the month of June, and we are asking people to give generously as they can and as they are led by the Holy Spirit. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, our resource consultants are contactable at 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Right back with more of Joe Dallas in just a few moments, so please don't touch that dial.
Life and truth are under assault in America in ways that would have been impossible to imagine, even a few decades ago. Yet Hank Hanegraaff observes the fundamental problem is not pagans doing what comes naturally to a fallen human nature, but Christians failing to do what comes supernaturally to those with redeemed minds and sanctified wills. Our culture is in freefall because Christians have failed to think and to live Christianly. Make a difference and stand with the Christian Research Institute during the key month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after the break. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. As the culture shifts toward condoning behaviors it once condemned, so does its language. Yet Christians must resist reframing immorality in positive terms. Is gay Christian an acceptable identity? Other topics include of bathroom bills and basic beliefs, the embodiment of heroism manifest in Christ, thought for food, the genetic fallacy, why accept the Pythagorean theorem, and much more. Stand with CRI during the month of June, and as our thanks for your gift, receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. Call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. It's only by the grace of God and the partnership of friends like you that enable the Christian Research Institute to combat the assaults on truth and Christian values that followers of Christ experience daily through a growing deluge of media channels. Stand with CRI during the month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. To make a special gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, simply call 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI or visit online at equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. Talking to Joe Dallas, Program Director of Genesis Counseling in Tustin, California, an author of many books on human sexuality. You can find him on the web at equip.org. And more to the point, the author of the cover story of a special edition of the Christian Research Journal, available for those who stand with us prayerfully and financially. You can check it out on the web at equip.org or simply write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can also talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. I was just looking at an article in the paper titled Prince William makes history with cover on Gay Magazine, the July issue, of course, of Attitude. And now you have the King of England, the future King of England, talking about the blight of homophobes and transphobes who he deems guilty of being haters. And he seems bent on erasing the social stigmas in relationship to homosexuality and transgenderism. And you wonder, when you have the future King of England taking these kind of stances, you look at what Obama is doing in terms of threatening to withhold funding to anyone that does not bow to the transgender agenda. Where's all this going?
Well, Hank, I think that statements like the Prince's statement set up a false choice for people. He basically seems to be saying either approve of homosexuality and approve of transsexualism or hate homosexual people and hate transsexuals. And, of course, there is plenty of room to disapprove of these behaviors and deeply love. As a matter of fact, it is really a rejection of one of the basic things we know about the God of the Bible. You can hardly, in one breath, say that if you disagree with someone, you hate them, and the next breath say that you believe in the God of the Bible, because the God of the Bible very clearly so disapproves of sin, and at the same time, this is the God of whom his Son said, God sent his Son to the world because he loved the world and sent me here not to condemn, but that the world might be saved. So, in essence, it's a rejection of a proper viewpoint of the very nature of God, certainly a perversion of simple concepts like approval versus hatred.
I want you to give a little bit of an overview on the article that we've been talking about. When you bring up HB2, many people will say it's a fabricated problem. You say it's an unfabricated crisis. This is a very crucial issue because there are safety measures that are in play. There is the violation of binary boundaries, and then there is the violation of religious liberty.
Well, it's multiple violations, really, Hank. I certainly wish that it was a fabricated crisis. I'd love not to have to even have this conversation. But the reality is, if you are going to, in essence, allow males to use restrooms for women based only on the way they identify themselves, a man is able to simply say, I say I'm a woman, therefore I am a woman, I want to use the women's facilities, then we've already listed, in fact, in the article that you're mentioning, I listed a number of cases where already men have gone into women's facilities for gratuitous purposes, not just to use the facilities. And their defense has been, hey, under the new law, I am now able to use the ladies' room, so leave me alone. And then, as you mentioned, it is a violation to a woman or a young girl, in most cases, to have a man in her bathroom facility, much less in her shower, even if the man is not in any way attempting to assault or violate her. Simply being naked in the presence of a male against your will is a violating experience. It is a violation of gender binaries. Gender binaries are God-given definitions of male and female, and to violate those is to try to blur the distinctions and introduce unquestionable levels of confusion in family relationships and in social relationships. We are fast approaching a time described in Judges as a time in which everyone did what was right in their own eyes. In our modern version of it, it's more like everyone became what was right in her or his own eyes. And that is an introduction to confusion, because if I am consistently changing my identification from male to female or something in between, I am going to insist that all the people in my life continue to comply with my re-identification. And that is going to introduce confusion at every level. And it does become a violation of religious liberty because, as we have seen, sadly, when the gay rights movement comes into ascendancy, you, without exception, will see restrictions on freedom of speech and freedom of religion. We have already seen a number of Christian bakers, florists, caterers, and photographers being hauled to court and sued and having lost sizable sums of money because they did not want to participate in a same-sex wedding by baking a cake for it. It would be naive in the extreme not to think the same thing is going to happen to Christian businesses who do not want anatomical males using the women's room. And we are already seeing the threat to Christian campuses, Christian schools, Christian institutions, if they do not comply with the redefinition of male and female and the redefinition of the family and of marriage, they could suffer losses, whether they be in the form of lost government funding, lost tax-exempt status, or face possible lawsuits. So these are violations on a number of levels: natural modesty, religious liberty, physical safety, gender binaries. And it's breathtaking, really, when you think about it, Hank, how quickly these new standards and demands have been introduced to the public. They demand a response from the church, certainly.
I've had you on the broadcast over the last 20 years. What do you think is the next frontier? I mean, 20 years ago, it would be hard to believe that we'd be talking about this today. What's next, in your opinion?
I believe what is next is a redefining of pedophilia. I think that once we have solidified the redefinition of gender, and we have in essence allowed people to determine for themselves what sex they are, the next step is to allow people to determine what age they are. This is an ugly thing I'm bringing up, and it's an ugly part of my own life, Hank, but I've told you on your show before that when I was very young, I engaged in sexual relations with adults. As a teenager, Hank, when I was 14, 15, and 16 years old, I had multiple relations with adult men, relations that I largely sought out. I considered myself an adult at that age. And thereby, I gave myself permission to have sexual relationships with adults. If I lived in a different kind of a world, it's possible that world would have said, well, you may be biologically 14, but if you say you're 21, then I guess you must be 21. Now, does that sound far-fetched and futuristic and wildly speculative? Yeah. But then again, everything you and I have been talking about for the last hour, Hank, would have sounded wildly speculative and far-fetched 10 years ago, yet here we are. So I think that the next frontier is going to be the revision of our concept of adult-to-child sex. That's my take on it.
Let's see if we can slip in one more call. Rhonda, listening in Fort Worth, Texas, you're on with Joe Dallas.
Yes, my question is, if someone has same-sex attractions that they do not want to have, what would be their first and best course of action to overcome that?
Bring it out into the open with someone you trust who is a mature believer, pastor, counselor, mentor, someone you can discuss it with, because you have to make decisions based on how entrenched you may be in that behavior, how entrenched you are in the identity, what relations you may need to cut off, what relationships you need to establish. Don't walk it alone. I think you start very much like Saul of Tarsus, where you're just vulnerable and you say, Lord, what would you have me to do? And that's when you need somebody to come along and take you by the hand and say, let's go. We're going to walk you through this. So that's where I would say to start.
Okay. Thank you.
You got it, Rhonda. And Joe, as always, we deeply appreciate your contributions to the Christian Research Journal and your contributions on air. Obviously, love your books, and want you to, just as we close the broadcast, talk about why you're willing to take a stand while there's yet time.
While there's yet time is the operative phrase there. I mentioned earlier that we are stewards of truth. What I have learned at a profoundly personal level is that truth is for our benefit. When I repented of sexual sin back in 1984, I did it as an act of obedience. I did it for God because God required it of me. Only now am I seeing, all these decades later, that it was one of the best things I have ever done for myself. Truth is liberating, not just because when we walk in truth, we're doing what is right, but we are, in fact, doing what is in our own interest. We are created beings. No one knows better than our Creator what is in our own interest. So if we would live life to the fullest, according to our own best interest, we'd best look at what our Creator intended it to be.
Could you conclude the broadcast with just a short prayer for those that are suffering as a result of the Orlando massacre?
Father, we do pray, and we agree as believers, that you will look on the people whose lives have been so decimated by this nightmare. Mayor, we pray that you will heal their bodies. We pray that you will miraculously touch the hearts of parents and family members who have lost loved ones in this tragedy. We pray that you will protect the homosexual population from ever being attacked like this again, and that you will confuse the purposes of anyone who would commit such an atrocity again. We pray above everything that you will glorify yourself by showing your hand and bringing something redemptive out of all of this that will build people up and draw them to you. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Joe, thank you so much for the prayer, for your contribution, for your books, and for your faithfulness. We deeply appreciate your ministry and deeply appreciate the way in which you communicate with gentleness and with respect.
Well, it's an honor partnering with you, Hank. It always has been, and I am so glad to be with you always.
Joe Dowles, again, he's Program Director of Genesis Counseling, Tustin, California. He's the author of the cover story of the Christian Research Journal and much, much more. The journal available for those who support the ministry all this month. Please stand with us, shoulder to shoulder, in the battle for life and truth. We do what we do because life and truth really do matter, not only for time, but also for eternity. So long for now.
Thank you for joining us today. Should people who feel they belong to a particular gender be allowed to use public bathrooms restricted to that gender, even if their birth certificates state they belong to the opposite gender? Read Joe Dallas's incisive article of Bathroom Bills and Basic Beliefs in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. To receive your copy as our thanks for your gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, simply call 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or just visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the Revised and Updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.
Life and truth are under assault in America in ways that would have been impossible to imagine a few decades ago. Yet Hank Hanegraaff observes the fundamental problem is not pagans doing what comes naturally to fallen human nature. Our culture is in free fall because Christians have failed to think and to live Christianly. Stand with Hank and the Christian Research Institute during June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength and ensure that CRI's arsenal of Bible Answer Man broadcasts, Christian Research Journal articles, e-truths, and other resources remain globally accessible. Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's mind-changing outreaches. As our thanks, we'll rush to you the new issue of the Christian Research Journal, featuring cutting-edge articles including Joe Dallas's Of Bathroom Bills and Basic Beliefs. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.